تشوفهم ريشال اسمبلي and also the ريشال كانتر اوف سوفرنتي. Can I just quickly introduce the chairperson for the three portfolio committees, Joyce, Mamuluka, the call for committees and portfolio committees myself, and Mamuluka Kobal, next to me here, is the chairperson for the portfolio committee on telecommunication and postal services. We've got Honorable Prince, the E. Yes, it's for the Select Committee on the Communication and Public Enterprises. So those are the three portfolio committees that are here. As I indicated today, and we're looking for a fully-fledged interaction that will actually take us a way forward. In terms of our agenda for today, we've got the state of readiness for broadcasting digital migration. I will not introduce all the delegations. I'll only take you through the minister's delegation. All the other delegations, they will have to do their quick intro once they stand up. So I'm going to request members first to do self-introduction. I'll introduce the minister's delegation. Then I will hand over to my other chairs. Yeah, it is the three of us. It's important before we start, you actually hear the voices. Honorable members, welcome all of you. Welcome everyone who is here. Can I request that you do your self-introduction? Can I start with you, Honorable Longeni? Thank you, Chairperson. Nokuzola Longeni, serving both committees.
Serving on the Communication and Public Enterprise Committee. Thank you.
Telecom and Postal Services.
Ozo, Vichelaka Kimalisa Kikana.
Malika, Kiris Kamatoba, the Federal Committee, Communication and Women with Presidents. From the court. Six members of committee, communication and telecommunication.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Mosley from Communications Control Committee and Public Enterprises. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sharon Sonskowski from Communications. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Gavin Davis from the Communications Portfolio Committee.
Well, I'm the that
also
from the Communications Committee. Thank you.
My name is Cameron McKenzie from Telecommunications Postal Service.
Good morning. I'm Marian Shin from Telecommunications and Postal Services.
Good morning. I'm Barry Smith, Select Committee Communications and Public Enterprises, representing Lamphopa.
Good morning. My name is Bridget Masango, Communications and Public Enterprises Select Committee.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Buscoffy, Select Committee on Communications and Public Entities Recent Cap.
No other member remaining. Okay, I will just introduce the minister because everybody knows the minister. But can I request the delegation from the department that is with the minister to introduce themselves? The minister who is with us is the Minister for Communication, Minister Faith Motami. Can I request them the delegation because it helps, you know, when members interact, they know who's actually there. And do a self-introduction as member state.
Good morning. My name is Soli Mugwete. I'm the program head of the DTC at the DOC.
Good morning. My name is Norman Njere. I'm the acting DJ of Communications.
Good morning. My name is Patwani Mutu. I'm the project manager for Digital Magazine.
If there is no one else, thank you very much for the introduction. I am at the moment going to hand over to the chairperson, Ellen Press, to proceed with the program. Ellen?
Thank you very much, chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Honorable Minister. I'm going to share this part of the presentation. I'm going to give over to the minister to do her opening remarks. Honorable Minister, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. It's right that you appeared before three committees. That indicates the question members have on this matter. With me, I'm joined by colleagues from the telecommunication entities. You'll recall this project is a shared project. We've got ourselves as the lead department, and we've got three entities from the telecommunication ministry that are running this project, that are the implementing agents. I must indicate I'm joined by the chairperson of USAPA, Ms. Folahat, I think you know her. There's also a board member for CENTEC, Mr. Sedhara. And then with us, we've got the delegation from ICASA led by the CEO. We also have the delegation of the SABC led by the CEO. Also the delegates of the delegation from CENTEC led by the acting CEO. And the post office. Films and public board. The task come really to support us, in particular together with it. Yeah, so I need to meet all of you, including these heads of the technical teams that I'm having. And then I want to share with you that since the approval and gazetting of the policy amendment in March 2015, we have the project management office, which has embarked on an assessment of critical elements of the program implementation. The purpose of the assessment was to take stock of completed and outstanding deliverables in order to ensure proper planning and sequencing of services in consideration of the dependencies in line with the program implementation ecosystem that we finally developed, the OSHA will show to you. The objective of this assessment was also to unlock risk and issues in the process of the program implementation in order to provide appropriate recommendations to myself on the actual implementation timelines for deliverables, milestones, and timelines to declare the digital migration dual elimination performance period, and to enable myself to consult with the cabinet at the cabinet decision of the 4th of March. One of the critical aspects of the program implementation was the bilateral engagement with the neighboring counterparts to ensure that the spectrum harmonization. In May and June 2015, together with the digital migration project management technical team, embarked on a campaign undertaking a series of bilateral engagements with neighboring counterparts of Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, Mozambique, and Namibia. During this visit, joint communique, joint statements and memorandum of cooperation were signed with neighboring counterparts, where agreements were reached with regard to the following: to establish a joint task team to facilitate the engagement between the countries, enhance collaboration and cooperation of the regulators in addressing matters of mutual interest on cross-border interference on terrestrial services and other related matters. We have also shared the plans with regard to the roadmap to the release and use of the digital dividends for other services and as well may this be necessary. We have also shared technical implementation best practice, which inclusive of the set-top boxes sourcing and distribution. We have engaged also on the areas of cooperation in content development and information dissemination to facilitate social cohesion and integration. And we have also developed a comprehensive checklist that highlights areas of attention and cooperation and further engagement towards the development of the memorandum of understanding. Ourselves as ministers in all these countries that I've mentioned, we enjoin the task team to be action and result oriented and to render further reports to ensure the expedition of the implementation of the agreed roadmap. We have also as ministers made commitments to monitor progress in this regard to ensure successful broadcasting digital migration of the respective countries. After the bilaterals that are violated, then there were timelines in which our services per countries, in particular the certain countries, intend to roll out and release the digital dividends. Then I must say the program management office now is continuing to engage with all the role players regarding the assessment of the outstanding deliverables in light of the Neighbouring Counterparts timeline. The program management will also provide progress updates about the status of the program and the timeline so far as in working towards dual illumination performance period announcement. I wish to assure the public and members that we are on track to have the broadcasting digital migration program implementation realized in South Africa. The project management office is working tirelessly with all key role players towards to ensure the successful implementation of the program. What is mainly critical to is to have affordable migration devices that are set-top box and financial solutions for government devices. And I must also call all of you to support this program to free the spectrum in order to realize the availability of broadband services the country has been waiting for. Without wasting my time, I'll hand over to Mr. Solomon Kweta, the program head, to go through the presentation through you.
Thank you, Minister. Minister, before you proceed with the presentation, I'm going to allow you each presentation will give you 15 minutes to present. 50 minutes. 1-5. Thank you. Again, we receive late apologies for Member Killian Siwela and
two members from telecommunications colleagues, so that we know today in our late arrival in terms of apologies. Member Siwela and Member Kile will arrive late. So I thought it's important that we indicate that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Acting DG, you can proceed with your presentation. Like I was saying, try to be short, but focus on the things that you think we need to hear and to interact. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members of the committees. Thank you, Minister Mthambi. First and foremost, Chairperson, let me correct. My name is Solomon Kweta. I do aspire to be a DG, but I'm not yet there. So I'm the program head, and my colleague here, Ndibu Ndelele, is the acting director general. Yes. Members, it all began, of course, with the presidential proclamation of the 2nd of December 2014, when the president gave powers to the Minister of Communication for the implementation of the DTT program. The DTT project was formally handed over finally to us and to Hattie, the PMO that she has talked about, on the 31st of January 2015. So there was a lag period as well. The Broadcasting Digital Migration Program ever since then became a flagship of the Department of Communications. In March 2015, Cabinet approved the final amendment to the Broadcasting Digital Migration Policy, which unlocked the project to enable implementation. Cabinet further approved that government provide free set-top boxes to the 5 million poor TV-owning households. This shift was a reflection of government's commitment to ensure that digital migration happens within the shortest time possible. The country did not meet the 17th of June 2015 analog switch-off date, as we all know, as set by the ITU. But a lot of work has gone into the process leading to the imminent analog switch-off. Notwithstanding this, the ministry concluded and has signed bilateral engagements with our neighboring countries, as was outlined by the minister, in order to minimize cross-border radio frequency spectrum. And as we stand now, Chairperson,
The ministry is ready to consult with cabinet on the digital signal switch on date. What you see on the screen now is the ecosystem that we followed the digital migration process ever since we started. This is an ecosystem that is based on the ITU, ecosystem that is recommended for all countries around the world. All else starts with policy, a clear policy. And when you have a blockade on the policy, as we have in South Africa for a certain period, you will not be able to succeed or move forward. So now the policy is completed and published. The regulator framework by ICASA has been completed and published. The standards by SABS, standard SANS 862 has been done and published. SANS 1719 for the DTP, for the DTH, I'm sorry, is also done. And we are now working to finalize the IDTV standards, which will be due by the 30th of September this year. Centec, on its part, the transmission network, has completed and published and has reported that 84% of terrestrial and 16% is to be covered by satellite. And that would complete the 100% population coverage in our country. The minister has reported we have also signed agreements with the neighboring countries to avoid interference, to harmonize our frequency bands across the borders. And the five countries are Botswana, Lesotho, Swaziland, Mozambique, and Namibia, and what is outstanding is Zimbabwe. USASA is ready as well, and in fact, last week it reported that it was ready to issue the purchase order. It has already met with the manufacturers, and it has approved some of them out of those that were selected earlier on. So we are ready with the devices, and we will indicate where we stand right now in the process of this presentation. The consumer and public awareness strategy is going on as well, is rolling out. It may not yet be fully visible because it has to be aligned as well to the rollout of what is happening on the ground. The set-top boxes are not yet there. You cannot go out on a full-blown public awareness campaign when people have no way to access set-top boxes. The post office SAPO is ready with the logistics and distribution system, and they have already identified all the centers, and in their presentation for this gathering here, they have indicated also how they will be able to certify the priority areas that will be targeted, the borderline priority areas as well as the SKA areas. We are working, Centec is working on viewer migration, but that also is dependent on the devices. What you see on the red are all dependencies on, lastly, the devices. And of course, the most important announcement, that of the analog switch off itself, is largely dependent on whether we can have devices very soon. And what happens after that happens after the analog switch off, which is the issue of dealing with the digital dividend, the frequency stacking and the digital dividend release. I think I'll skip this part, Jefferson, as you advised, because the minister has already stated how the PMO was established and what it has been doing. But it is important for us to mention here the policy framework under which the DTT project has been run. This started in 2008, shortly after GE06 2006 in Geneva. In South Africa, we developed the policy of broadcasting digital migration. But there have since been two amendments in 2012 and 2015. And the final policy amendments were approved on March 4th, 2015, and were gazetted to the 18th of March, 2015. The most critical aspect of this latest final policy amendment, of course, was for government to provide free STDs to 5 million poor television households, and of course to address the issue of encryption. The Minister of Communication is now ready
to announce the performance period after consultation with cabinet. This emerged at the point when cabinet was approving this policy. They made it clear to the minister that the next announcement should be in consultation with cabinet. The DTT regulations are also done. The DTT standards, SAMS 862 has been published, as we mentioned. The SPB control system specifications, which were a major stumbling block, have been finalized and handed over to USASA, and hence USASA has been able to engage the manufacturers. The last issue which has occurred in the past few weeks has been conformance testing to ensure that all the set-top boxes that will be manufactured in South Africa conform to the standards that have been set, and in particular SANS 862. As we mentioned, Fintech has already completed its transmitter network. Both terrestrial and satellite networks are complete, and all 178 analog transmitters are configured with DTT network. And now Fintech is undertaking optimization and testing of the network systems. The performance period, it is called performance dual illumination performance period because in South Africa, Fintech has already put on the lights. So there is dual illumination right now. What has been missing was to receive this dual illumination, to receive the digital signal. And that period when both signals will be on and reception will be happening, we estimate that we should be able to conclude within the next 18 to 24 months. And the minister is due to announce the performance period, when to start, and when to start the counting of the 18 to 24 months. That will be leading us to the analog switch off, which is the important date of switching off the analog, and the country remains has been digital. However, we are ready for that. In terms of the analog switch off, and following the roadmap as outlined by the ITU itself, that this ecosystem that we outlined, we have concluded that South Africa should adopt a phased approach to the analog switch off in order to achieve the following primary objectives. First, to protect our services from cross-border interference. Then, compliance with SKA Act requirements. As we know, they're very onerous. To align to best practice and minimize services disruptions. Optimal allocation of resources and viewer management risk, that is a risk-averse approach. This is Fintech carrying out this management process. The phased approach has been adopted in other countries, and it has had minimal impact as well. And we are also looking at the best practices around the world. Our choice has been that the SKA and borderline areas are to be prioritized after assessment by the PMO, particularly after engagements with the neighboring countries to establish which are the most risk-averse areas in the country. We have already talked about the harmonization parts. We'll skip that, Minister. And we are planning to launch a massive public awareness campaign, which, as I indicated earlier, has been reticent and withheld because it could have run ahead of what was happening on the ground. But now we will begin to see expression of this public awareness campaign in various forms. It will focus on three key major launch areas: the education launch to educate our population and our public about digital migration and to build up interest, and then of course the STB launch and to talk about the performance period during the dual illumination, and finally the analog switch off. The key messaging have been developed, pamphlets and leaflets have been developed in 11 official languages, television and radio adverts have been developed, and government in visa programs have also been utilized
desensitized at this point. The digital logo has been designed. It has also a mascot, and our consumers will also, of course, be encouraged to take up the set-top boxes. In terms of the DPT devices and the acquisition and distribution, the work that has been done by USASA. USASA made a panel, appointed finally a panel of manufacturers, and 26 were established to supply the DPT and DTH STBs. Up to now, three companies are to supply antennas. Control security system specifications have been completed and have been handed over by broadcasters to USASA as required by the policy and standards. And government is to place the STB orders during the course of this month, where we expect USASA to issue the purchase order to the manufacturers. And there, then we will finalize the logistics and distribution framework with SAPO. That completes my overall presentation, Minister, but I can go further to provide the details of the entities, and I will be advised by this.
Can we proceed with the other presentation? Thank you very much for the presentation, Mokutle. Thank you very much for the presentation. Can we proceed with another presentation? Same tech presentation by KT. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can you please introduce yourself before you are going to take us through the presentation so that we can know who's dealing with the presentation and not making the same errors like me did before? Because according to the presentation, the note was supposed to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Seth Khaneri. I'm the member of the Board of Centec. And the person that is going to do the presentation, his name is Khanki Matavale, who is the Chief Operating Officer. And I'm accompanied by the Acting CEO here as well to deal with any other question. Her name is Ozani Rafini.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Khanki Matavale, Mr. Khadebe, really indicated. I'm going to skip some of the slides because the PMO has already captured them, so I will be able to optimize on time. I'll start with slide number 4 that talks about what Centec already covered. As I said, we have already covered 84% between the last time we came here and now we had 4 sites that I knew that we had to also complete. We've already completed 2 of them. We've got a challenge with Beggarsport. As members, you'll notice the challenges people around Beggarsport are able to receive signals, radio and TV signals. We are putting a new site there, a better spot, but we've been having challenges there with riots and so on. The community has said they need a road. Apparently they said they were promised a road in 2011, and until the road is constructed, they are not going to allow us to do any work there, which is going to, in a way, disadvantage the communities around there. So we just wanted to highlight that, the Honorable Chairperson and Minister. We've already, as you know, we started with the digital migration some time ago, so we've developed an operating model, because we cannot operate the way we've been operating. There are going to be many changes that require us to be close to our site, so we optimizing on that to make sure that where there's a need, we will have a site, we will have an office of people closer to our site, so that we can be able to respond much quicker. Analog issue has been touched on. I'm going to keep it. The one I want to highlight also is the digital, it's a dual illumination. We've received some funding for the current financial year, but there's a deficit of 32 million that we require for us to be able to run both analog and digital. We have not received any funding for the next year and the year after that, but we've requested that from National Treasury. We were waiting for the decision as part of the MPF processes. The other important thing is here, we currently are sitting with community broadcasters. We have community broadcasters now being covered from one side, which means they move from transmitter and then they move to the tower and then they get broadcasted. But with the digital migration, the size are going to increase, you'll see the next slide, from 1 to 10 or 12. Which means that they are now covered by the coverage area increases, the number of transmitters that are covered then increases. So what happens then, the information moves from the tower, it comes to us, and then we take it to the satellite and then we distribute it, which means there will be additional costs. We had a meeting, a workshop last week with all the stakeholders, ICASA, MDPA, DOC, GPS, trying to find a solution to say, when ASO happens, the broadcasters have said that they are not going to be able to afford the new tariffs, but we need to find a way to make sure that we continue with universal access and diversification. So we had a meeting and then we are looking at ways of maybe finding a way of getting subsidized, the broadcasters either subsidized or developing some skills to make sure that they run on a commercial community broadcasting way where they'll be able to raise enough funds to self-sustain. So the next slide is just to indicate, you'll see, we took three examples, with Cape TV, Soweto TV, and Tony TV. As you can see, currently they're all covered by one transmitter, which means they're covered on one side. You'll see on the left is Cape TV, the red one is the current coverage, and then the blue one plus the red, it will be the DT coverage. Same as Tony and Soweto, you'll see Tony and Soweto will be covered by the same coverage area, because in DT it will be a provincial coverage. That means they will have to pay more, and then Centec has to find ways of resolving the problem together with all the other affected stakeholders. We've been engaging with the customers because that's part of our DT migration. We also conclude new types with the customers. We've in principle agreed with everyone. We're waiting and are busy negotiating for the MTA to be completed. The other important thing is the release of the digital dividend. As you may know, everyone is talking about the digital dividend for broadband. There are some other steps that need to be taken to make sure that the digital dividend is released. You'll see the diagram on top talks about the position 3AFO, which is the position we are at now. As you see, there are broadcasting savings that are in the bands that need to be utilized for broadband. So we need to move those services to to where they're supposed to be. As you see the diagram below, that talks about post, position post AFO. So the first position, which is called bent, is where the casting is going to remain. And then the second and the red is what we call first and second dividend. That's where the broadband is going to stay. So there's a process that is to be undertaken after ASO to release the digital dividend. So if ASO is going to take 2 years, it means that we can only start after 2 years to release the digital dividend. Yeah, thank you very much, Coaches and Minister.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. Can we move to the next presentation? The next presentation is USATA.
USATA. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And the Chief yourself and Minister present. My name is Kumulakhadeb. I'm chairman of the Board of USATA and USAS. And Mahoto Ruth Moilwa is going to do the presentation on behalf of USATA. She's the executive manager of operations. Together with me, next on my left, is the CEO, Zani Osi. And on the left-hand side is a member of the committee of the board responsible for this particular project, Ms. Zindlaza. And on the extreme left is the company secretary, who also advises us on legal matters on this one. So may I hand over to Makoto Ruth Moyes. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Good morning. It looks like you're not seeing what I'm seeing. May I just try this again? I will try to be as short and succinct as possible and just touch on the four major areas, looking at what our role was at the outset and bring you through to the state of the situation at the present moment. Our role, Chair, was to develop the qualifying criteria for points for manufacturers, subsidize the procurement of the antenna, be they satellite or your normal antennas, and assist with the migration in respect of installation of poor households to the new platform. That said, the qualifying criteria has been adopted by Cabinet. The manufacturing tender was put out, evaluated, educated, and approved. The manufacturers were put on a panel with a condition that they must comply with the FAM standards and with SABS regulations. The tender for the installation of services was published. It has been evaluated. 158 companies made submissions, and it is due to go to board for consideration. We've been negotiating prices with the manufacturers. There was a very big variance in pricing, so we needed to consolidate that. We've considered that for the most part. The bid evaluation of the installation services, like I mentioned, has been concluded. And the SAFO system has been demonstrated to USATA with the back-end fully meets the requirements, and this is both the operation as well as the reporting requirements. The point-of-sale system had already been developed and was due for finalization at the end of last month, so we're due to review that as well with a view to then enter the SKA area in September. The adjudication for installer services have been concluded. Now, we have there was mentioned that there was over 20 bidders in varying capacities that were appointed to the bid panel. And with those capacities come the production capacities that varies from 2 weeks all the way to 34 weeks in some instances. So we have lead time considerations, first lead time considerations to consider, especially when we're looking at the SKA deadline of December and then, of course, the cross-border deadline that the Minister had alluded to already. In terms of allocations, this is the proverbial question that we end up being faced with, is how are you going to allocate offers? We've developed an allocation formula that prioritizes price and local content. This is assuming that the bid has come through and complied with the current standards with FADS. Now, the national allocation against the Centec and the SACO warehouses has been a complete. So where we sit, what that means is that where we sit right now, we know exactly how many boxes need to be in which provinces and which municipalities, and whether they are DPH or DPC. So where we sit, we're able to start grouping and allocating orders to prospective bidders. And all bidders are undergoing testing of SEB. At the time the presentation was done, two had passed today. We've got a third that came through in recent times as well. The issue of local content, all SED, and these are just compliance matters in terms of the instruction note that governs the procurement of boxes. The SED 6.2s have all been submitted to National Treasury, and local content certification, as the instruction note, is about to commence from the DPI side. We have experienced a few challenges, Chair, in respect to FAES tests, and this is not just for small manufacturers, but it's for big ones as well. The pace at FAES, and we have also been informed by the FAES that they are unable to test DPH. However, these are elements that the PMO has been dealing with. We've been working with them quite closely to sort them out. And there's a plan in place, more especially on how to deal with the DPH matter. So we expect that to clear within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Local content specification is another one that takes a bit of time, but that's already commenced. And again, the assistance of the PMO, we're making good traction on that in that respect. And that will allow for jobs to be saved, which is typically the case within the electronics industry at the present time, and where possible for jobs to be created locally. From a process implementation point of view, the SACO tracking platform is done. It will be launched in September in the SKA region with a view to complete that area by December 2015. The standardized barcoding is complete, so all prospective bidders that will be allocated any manufacturing order have a barcode that allows us to track exactly who it comes from and where it's been placed. The standardized packaging that we've agreed to, is all the database file and formats are all complete. The daily, weekly, and monthly monitoring formats have been agreed to. SACO personnel will commence training in August. SACO has also committed to availing their satellite vans for backup. They've got 9. And the temporary resourcing has been agreed that it will be localized around the distribution area. What we have up there, Chair, is a schematic of where we are with the project. So basically, everything that I've said in a snapshot. So you'll see that at the time we were submitting, the point of sale system was 40% complete. It's sitting around 70% at the moment because we needed some changes in the way we were going to report, to collect and report data. So that's the change. How are we going to start? I mentioned, and the Minister did mention as well, December 2015, we have to have completed the SKA area. And there we're looking at 7,604 needy households that need to be facilitated in there. And that's primarily DPH. From there, we will then move to the rest of the Northern Cape, which is still a predominance of DPH, but there are areas that are DPT as well. And you're looking at 113-odd needy households that need to be taken care of there. We then go into a third phase, which we need to be done by June 2016. And this is the portion that covers the borders. The Lesotho, Mozambique, Botswana, Swaziland, Zimbabwe, and Namibia borders. Again, this is in support of the bilaterals that the Minister has signed, which will allow us to put up that barrier and prevent slippage. Order placement. We're preparing order placement for 1.2 million boxes. And antennas that would go with them. what is important to emphasize here, Chair, is that these are all that will be faced against the fully compliant manufacturers. It cannot be assumed that it will be against all the 20 odd manufacturers. Not all of them are compliant at this stage. But with this amount, we will be able to deal with the SKA, deal with the Northern Cape, as well as close those the borderlines, which means the urgent portion would have been dealt with. If you were to look at what the numbers are looking at, the Stats SA number are sitting at 6.1 million in terms of needy households that would require the service. That means we're going to need to be installing 17,000 SCDs as well as relevant antenna per day. Now, this obviously brings the question whether you have sufficient installers in the market or not. And in this regard, we've been talking to the UIF for almost a year now to look at how we can ramp up that number using FET or what's called TVET College Now, and training up installers to come into the market, preferably from the rural and urban areas. That has gone fairly well. We're waiting for a response in that regard. We've done presentations. We've submitted the necessary documents. And we're hopeful that we will be able to achieve that. We must, however, highlight the matter of training installers is not a UFA matter, per se, in the sense that there was no budget allocation for it. Hence, we're requesting UIF to assist us in that respect. In terms of the project deliverables within the first and second quarter, it has to do with the appointment of installers, which we need to finalize, and as well as to finalize an SLA with SABS. Now, this SLA is around them doing periodic checks on manufacturers to make sure that what they produce is indeed produced locally and is not shipped in. We're trying to prevent a situation where manufacturers take to SABS a few boxes, get them certified and the local content certification, and then they import the rest. We're trying to avoid that. So we've agreed with SABS that they would do periodic checks to make sure that as far as possible we achieve the goals, or the country achieves the goals that it has set out to achieve. The packaging and barcoding was set to be complete. It's done. And the placement of orders is already far advanced at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Can we have the next group support to come and present? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can just do the introductions whilst Anton is presenting. My name is Mluma Tonsi. I'm the interim CEO for the Sasol Group. Next to me is Giyas Pitai, who is responsible for our retail business. Anton Van Vuren will do the presentation for us today. We again appreciate the opportunity to be here. And thanks so much to the minister and certainly the leadership of SOI has assisted us a lot in driving this project. We'll give you the highlights of where we are with the progress. A lot of work has been done. A lot of detailed work has been checked. Weekly sessions are being held, particularly with your SASA, so do not be surprised if you see some of the staff will be presenting looking rather similar to what your SASA has already shared with the House. The few issues that are perhaps dependencies or that are outstanding, both Soli and Hartz have already indicated those. Perhaps one that I should add on is the issue of the funding for distribution and logistics that is still in the hands of National Treasury. And National Treasury will be calling in a meeting where all the major stakeholders will be participating in that particular discussion. As things stand, Chairperson would like to believe certainly as well that we are about 4 weeks ahead of schedule right now. We are pushing to have an extra week, which will be clear by the end of this week. We have put in a number of solid teams, both on the logistics as well as on the retail side, will be handling, and of course are handling, the planning to a very, very detailed level. As you can imagine, you're looking at 2,450 branches that will be handling the STPs and be trying to reach every household that qualifies. So with those few words, Anton will take us through just the highlights of what we have covered so far. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think, as the CEO indicated, Mustafa has already dealt with a lot on our side. I'm just going to take you quickly through. During the month of July, we have distribution partner for the project, and we will see that goal, if we go to the first point, it is it entails that the supply and the distribution of the offset of market given as online vouchers to process the applications for the subsidized set of boxes during the phasing registration phase, the ordering, warehousing and distribution of equipment to software outlets, the process and delivery of the equipment in sequential distribution and done order, the issue of the installation voucher to the qualifying applicant, and also a notification to design installers to arrange for installation, and then the verification of installation of the vouchers and the processing of the files of that voucher to the installers. And our last function is the exchange and replacement of the faulty equipment. We will see that against the background of the bilateral agreements that were held by the minister, as well as the priority of CENTEC on their side for the signal, we have lined up plans to do SK area as the light pilot site for the registration phase. That will be the first priority. The second one is the Northern Cape province, as indicated by USASA, and that will include the border line with Namibia, which is the second priority, and then the remaining borderline areas, which is the third priority. And we will give you more detail on how we're going to approach that. And our last priority is in the inland areas, which will be priority number four. We will commence with the registration phase in the SK area. That will start on the 1st of September. And thereafter, we will have then a pilot evaluation to see how the registration has gone so that we can have some lessons learned. And then prepare immediately thereafter for Northern Cape, whereafter we will do the Sotho in Swaziland, Botswana and Zimbabwe in Mozambique thereafter, Limpopo and the Mpumalanga provinces, Northwest and the Free State, and the last one is the Eastern Cape, and then it is the Gauteng and the Western Cape. You would see that this registration phase will take place 2 months in a row, and we will complete the registration phase by the end of December next year. Now, for the result of that, as we're doing the registration phase, we will need to start with the distribution of the equipment. Our estimate is that USASA will be ready with the equipment by end of October, and then we will start, as we complete the registration phase, immediately go in priority order to each of those provinces, which will include the SA that takes place first, the Northern Cape second, and thereafter the other borderline areas. Now, what we will see that we will achieve completion of the SKA and the migration process there by the end of December. And we would also see that in the case of the borderline areas that we will achieve the target date to have all the borderline areas done by the 30th of June, and that is the target that has been set by Department of Communications. By the end of November 2016, we would have completed the distribution phase, as well as we would have started to with the pricing distribution of all the equipment by the end of that period. From the 1st of December 2016, we will then start in parallel with all the provinces by distributing the remaining equipment in sequence. What is however important is that it will take place in parallel with all the provinces, and we will keep the people up to date where they are in queue during the distribution phase. If we go to the SK area, we have identified all the towns in that area, which in yellow circle is in total 17 of them, Brandplein, Bridgetown, California, Renalpun, Clovis, Hoop, Kaimus, Kakamas, etc. when we register the people, the state that will automatically inform us what is the type of SCP that those people qualify for, and we will then issue an application receipt, and when the equipment becomes available, we will start in by 1st of September with the distribution of the equipment. We will see on our plan, and I think as indicated by USASA, that everything is on track. We have received the software, we're in the testing phase. Training will start at 17 branches by the 17th of August, and we will have completed the training, everything to be ready to keep up with the recession phase on the 1st of September. On the borderline areas, we've identified in totality 171 branches. If you look at the map here on the left, it will go then all along to Botswana. It will go to from there to Zimbabwe and Mozambique. From there we move over to Swaziland, and from there we will move over to Lesotho. Now the priority for the GOC is that they have identified Lesotho as the first one. The number of branches we have is 70. The number of EDI households based on the 542 is 244,000. And then we will see that we do Swaziland thereafter, with the totality of 89,000 EDI households. And then we will do Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Botswana as a last place to see that migration period by the end of June. On the critical dependence issues, we have finalized the plans. We have allotted to you the votes, and we're currently waiting for the final plan to be approved by the minister. After, we will then arrange for sign-off of the plan. Our marketing material, as indicated by the DOC, is all done. On our side, we are responsible for the application and installation forms. That will be ready for the registration price on the 1st of September. And then we will see the other one is that on our side is the timers, laws, and the pre- and the mobilization awareness campaigns. We had the DOC have indicated that's on track. And then the DT call center, we will have that up and running when we start with the Northern Coast. The DOC's plans are there on track, and then the parallelization of SCP qualification criteria, we currently have the validity devices as a requirement. We will have a solution on that matter by the end of this week. And then the SL Allison is on track, and then the fund that has been approved, as the CEO indicated, is actually in place to make sure that we continue in the meantime while the remaining funds are addressed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Thank you. I'm going to hand over to the Chairperson of Communications, Honourable Member Fubai. Thank you. Communications, thank you.
Thanks, Constance. Good morning, Constance. I'm just going to outline how we're going to deal with the question and answer session. Noting that we have three committees here, and we have four presentations, each member is going to have an opportunity in the first round to ask four questions. So I'm going to ask members to be focused, four questions each, and then we'll take responses. And when you give questions, or if you make comments, just indicate which presentation I'm speaking to. I'm going to break for 10 minutes break, but I'm going to ask colleagues who are not presenting or who are not going to be responding, especially on entities, to allow those who are going to be requested to respond to questions, to see where the mics are, so that we don't battle to hear people. And on a chance as well, give priority to members, so that members are not far when can't see them, in order for them to be able to ask and participate in the meeting. So I'll call for just 10 minutes, just to stretch your legs so that we get ourselves organized, and then we start.
Hello.
Okay.
And yesterday, on Twitter, Parliament advertised at the Consumer City Day. And I say,
no.
Yeah.